And we're very grateful for how you helped us and while we were there. Just give you a little bit of an update. On our last term while we was there, between 2009 and 2013, we was able to turn over the first work that we started to a national preacher. The young man there, I say young man, I guess he's about 5-6 years younger than me. And he surrendered to the pastorate there, and we was able to ordain him into the ministry, help preach his almost said funeral. It's not a funeral, but his ordination. And we're thankful for that church and thankful it's still going on. We was able to help another missionary also to start another church, the Victory Independent Baptist Church. And we're thankful for the opportunity to see some souls saved there. My wife was just talking to one of the ladies in Australia just, I guess, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we've been praying for her husband to be saved for quite some time. His name is Warwick. And Warwick has been, the Lord's still dealing in his heart. And he found out about a believer that had allowed sin to come in his life and ruined his testimony. And that does happen. That does happen. And he said, "Well, I don't want to go to heaven to be with that kind of person." And I told him to tell it. I told his wife to tell him. I said, "Well, go to hell to be with the rest of them." Right?
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes you got to be blunt, not to be ugly. Sometimes you got to get people's attention, and it'll take the Lord to get his attention. So we're still praying for Warwick to be saved. In the last 3 months. We haven't been to Australia in just a little over a year now, but in the last 3 months, two of the people that we was working with while we was on the field has accepted the Lord as their Savior and is showing good fruit. So we're excited about that. It's still exciting to hear about what God's doing. So if I did what I wanted to do, I would probably still be back in Australia. And a lot of times when God puts you on the spot and wants you to do something, sometimes it's not as easy as we'd like for it to be. But I'm really glad to be in the Lord's will and doing what He has us to do. When we were on the field, our mission agency handled our support, handled any problems that we had here in the States for us, took care of those things, received our mail, paid different bills that we might need to be paid. Now, they paid for them out of our account. I'm not saying they paid for them for us, but they handled our funds and different things like that and helped us while we was there. And I didn't realize how big a ministry that was until I've got back in this position here. In 2008, we were finishing up our second term on the field. And our director at that time, Brother Robert Jenkins, started asking us to pray about coming and helping him. He was sick with esophageal cancer, and he died with that cancer in December of 2012, I believe it was. And he kept asking me to pray about it, and I would pray about it. And I thought, no, I'm from 2008 to 2012. I said, no, I kept praying about it. I stayed 4 more years on the mission field, and I don't regret spending more years on the mission field. But if I had have come in then, Brother Sexton, I might have learned a lot more from a man of God that had a lot more experience. But we're learning as we're going, and a lot of it's learning through the School of Hard Knocks. But we do pray for us. We are with Warrington. I'm the director of Warrington Baptist Mission Agency. I do have some prayer cards here. We help with representing the mission and presenting, helping our missionaries while they're on the field and while they're here at home. We help them at the work with the work of the home office, and we preach mission conferences, or I preach mission conferences and mission Sunday special days as the Lord opens doors. We don't receive a salary. We're supported by faith offerings, just as we was when we was on the mission field. I do appreciate the church here, and do pray that the Lord would have His will and way in our lives. We've got about 13 different missionaries. We've got one in Australia, one in Papua New Guinea, another one about to leave the middle of this year, going to Papua New Guinea. We have one in Mexico. We have one in England. We have one on the way to Scotland, raising support now. We have one working in rural Maine. We have one working in Kentucky, one in Miami, Florida, one south of Houston, Texas. And my memory's failing right there. I think I'm missing some, but please forgive me for that. We do appreciate the opportunity to help spread the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We've got a great responsibility. A great responsibility. But I do appreciate you fine folk here. My wife did say to send her regards. She would love to have been here tonight. We've been traveling all day. We left Fayetteville, North Carolina this morning about 5:45 this morning, so we've been on the road most all the day, and we've got some children who are not feeling well back at the motel, so do pray for them, or they would have been here tonight if they would have been well. But we do appreciate the privilege to be here, and she does send her apologies for not being here. And we've got good memories of being here, brother. At that mission conference was here, good memories. So we're thankful for how y'all blessed our heart, just the opportunity to be here with you. If you have your Bibles tonight, John chapter number 4. Pastor, is this my water?
Yes.
All right, thank you. John chapter number 4. Let me get my clock out of here so I can keep up with what time it is. Some time ago, my watch battery broke, and I didn't replace it, and I just used my phone. So if you see me turning my phone on, that's what I'm doing, looking at my time. All right, John chapter number 4 tonight in verse number 1. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll read our scripture. Our Father, we're thankful for the privilege it is to stand and to try to preach your word, and Lord, it'd be all in vain to stand here without you. We pray for your help and your touch and your presence and, Lord, your unction. God, we ask you, Lord, just to meet with us and, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts from your word. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be a servant of yours, and, Lord, we're guilty of not being exactly all that we should be. God, help us to serve you with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole body. Help us to realize, Lord, that our time is short. And, God, help us, Lord, to be found faithful, Lord, when you come. God, I pray that you just do a work in our midst here tonight. Please bless the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, Lord, and I pray that you'd cleanse me, Lord, and Lord, fill me with thy spirit. Lord, if there's any unconfessed sin in my life, Lord, that I'm unaware of, I pray that you just wash me and cleanse me, O God, and Lord, that you'd help me, dear Lord, to be a vessel, Lord, that you could use here tonight. And Father, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful and lovely name. Amen. John chapter number 4 tonight, verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. That Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? I'd like to say amen, he is. Amen. I mean, he created the well. I mean, he created the water in the well. He created the man that dug the well. Art thou? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, I believe that's a key word right there, in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought Him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and finish His work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. I know it's a lot of reading tonight, but I promise you God's Word is more important than what I'll have to say. I want to take my text tonight out of verse number 35. Jesus said, Say not ye. He's asking a question. He said, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. We know that our Lord Jesus was compelled to go through Samaria. And we know the reason. It was because of this woman here at the well. The disciples, they had come with the Lord Jesus, and according to verse number 6, the Bible tells us that it was the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour of the day on the Jewish time schedule is 12 o'clock noon. It's hot. And we find they had come, they've been walking, and the Savior is weary, and we find the disciples, according to verses number 5 and verses number 8, they've gone into the city of Sychar to buy some meat or some groceries for themselves and for the weary Savior. But on their way back, they waved back from town, they've got their groceries, they've got what they went to buy, and they find Jesus talking to this woman of ill repute. I want you to notice here in verse number 27, they come back and notice that they did not ask Him why He was talking to such a person. But notice what they did do. The Bible tells us that they marveled. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. They said, in their hearts, really they were thinking or they were saying in their mind, saying, why are you talking with such a person? You know, the Jews, the Bible tells us even here that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. The Samaritans, the Jewish people were prejudiced against the Samaritans because the Samaritans, they were half Jew and they were half Gentile, and they would walk all the way around to the land of Samaria so they wouldn't even have to set their foot on the land of Samaria. They were very prejudiced against them. And we find here that this woman ended up getting saved. And she was so excited about it. She had left her water pot. I mean, the vessel that she had used so much and so long to transport water from the well to her house. She even left it and ran back to the city to tell the men, come see a man that's told me all things that ever I did. And we find here that not only was she telling them about the Lord Jesus, but according to verse number 29 and verse number 30, that she's bringing them back. You know, you don't have to have a soul winner's course to win somebody the Lord. You can just tell them what Jesus has done for you. Amen? I mean, if you can tell them what He's done for you, hey, I'm telling you, you can tell somebody about Jesus. You can tell them about the Lord. The Lord can use you. He can use us. You say, I don't know very many scriptures. You don't have to know very many. Hey, you can tell Him what He's done for you. Bring him to him. We find here this is exactly what this Samaritan woman was doing. She was telling others about Christ and bringing them to the Lord Jesus. Now, and in the meantime, the disciples, they're trying to get Jesus to eat this food they brought in verse number 31. And we find that Jesus lets them know. He said, boys, I've got some meat to eat that you know nothing about. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 32. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. So the disciples are confused and they're asking, who gave him meat? Who gave him meat? We see here in verse 33, and he said, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Did somebody come by and give him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something? I don't know if they had that then or not, but it's just come to my mind. Here we find that they're confused, and so the Lord starts giving them this example of the harvest. It says here in verse number 35, he says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Now I grew up on a farm in southwestern Oklahoma, and I know a little bit about farming. I know a little bit about crops and cattle, and I know that farming is work. It doesn't just happen. You know, if you're going to have a harvest, it's going to take work. And if you're going to have a harvest, you have to prepare the ground. If you're going to have a harvest, you're going to have to plant the seed. If you're going to have a harvest, you're going to have to trust God to send the rain. You're going to have a harvest. You're going to have to wait. And even as Jesus said here, said, "Say not ye." It usually takes about 4 months for that harvest to produce. But Jesus is letting these disciples know that there's a harvest out there of souls that need to be harvested that we do not have to wait 4 months to go get. See what he said here in verse number 35. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white. They're already unto harvest. You know, when Jesus was talking about this this field, white unto harvest, I really don't think he's talking about white cotton field or wheat field, golden wheat. I really don't think he's talking about that. I believe really, now I'm reading between the lines, but I really believe that Jesus was referring to that Samaritan woman that was bringing the men back from the city. I believe that he was talking, he said, look, for they are white, already to harvest. He was talking about the potential converts. He was talking about the potential people that needed the Lord Jesus that could be saved. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse number 38? Now we're talking about, Jesus said the field, which, you know when you talk about the mission field, you say, where's the mission field? Is it America? Is it Mexico? Is it South America? Jesus said the field's the world. Yeah. Matthew 13, the first part of verse number 38, he said the field's the world. And I want to talk to you about that, on that thought tonight. I want to talk to you about being aware of the need. Being aware of the need. You know, we end up, a lot of times we're like these disciples and we end up with our eyes on the temporary things. And, you know, we got to have temporary things. You know, if we're going to live, food's temporary, isn't it? Very temporary. But you got to have it. You're not going to make it if you don't have it. And a lot of times we get our eyes on things that are temporal instead of things that are eternal. And we're guilty of that many times. We get our eyes off of the spiritual needs of others. God help us to see others. See others. And I want to talk to you about being aware of the need. First of all, I'd like to say tonight, if we're going to be aware of the need, we need observation. Notice what our Bible says in verse number 35. Jesus said here, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Jesus said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. You know, Jesus here in this portion of Scripture, He uses three different words that have to do with our vision. So have to do with our vision. He said here, I need you to behold. Now if we're going to behold something, we're going to, where? There it is, behold. And if we're going to, it goes on, Jesus said, lift up your eyes. You know, a lot of times we're guilty of walking around and we're looking down all the time and we're not seeing what's before us. Jesus said, behold. He said, lift up your eyes. And not only that, He said, look. Look. A lot of times we're guilty of not having a vision. Our Bible tells us in Proverbs 29 and verse number 18, it tells us where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. A friend of mine several years ago told me about a friend of his that went into a church in the southern part of Georgia that had closed. It was shut down. They'd closed the doors. But that young man went into that church building, and he went in and he walked around. He looked and he's thinking, oh, this is sad, you know. Have you ever seen one on the side of the road just closed up? It's sad, isn't it? And he's just walking back over the back door. They had that scripture right here. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish. You know what had happened? The W fell off of the word where. You know what happens when you take the W off of the word where? It says here. And the saying didn't say where there's no vision. It said here. There's no vision and the people perish. God help that not to be the case in our lives. We need to get the W back in our life. We need to get the W of witnessing back. We need to get the W back of whatever it needs to be. Hey, we need to get back to God. Hey, this country's in bad shape if you don't know it. Hey, I'm talking to you about being aware of the need. God help us not to get in a routine, to get in a rut. I used to have a preacher friend of mine that said, choose your ruts carefully. He said, sometimes they're hard to get out. He referred to a rut as a grave with being like a grave with both ends kicked out. God help us not to get in a rut. But we do. We do. We get in a routine. Many times we go down the same few roads. Many times we go to the same grocery store, to the same filling station, to the same bank, even many times to the same bank teller. Hey, and you know, that's just the way we are. But you know, what I'm trying to say is today, it's very easy to forget that there's just not this little populace that we live in. We forget about a world of 7.1 billion people that are living today. Can you comprehend how many that is? It's hard for me sometimes to comprehend big numbers. And when I was thinking about this number of 7.1 billion, I was trying to get my head wrapped around it, how many that is and how many that would be. And you know, I understand how many a million is. A million is 100,000 times 10. That's a million. According to U.S. statistics, we have 315 million plus people here in the U.S. 315 million. 1 billion. 1 billion is a one with nine zeros behind it. Now, a million is six zeros. 1 billion is one with nine zeros behind it. You know how many it takes to get one? You know how many million it takes to get 1 billion? It takes 1,000 million to equal a billion. 1,000 million is a bit. That's a lot. I'm not just talking about numbers here tonight. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about souls that are going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and never die. We have less than a third of a billion people living in the U.S. I'm not talking about people, 7.1 billion people. I'm not talking about people that's already died and gone on. I'm talking about their living, that are living. Can you imagine the millions? You talk about the population. I heard a well-known man of God just say last week that he believed that the population around Noah's day was approximately 3 billion people. How many people have lived and died and down through the last 6,000-7,000 years? How many people have lived and died? Oh, I'm afraid it's many. Can you imagine the billions and billions of lost people that's going to stand before the great white throne judgment and hear Jesus say, I never knew you. I never knew you. We can be witnesses. We can be witness here today. We can't be a witness to those that have already died. Hey, if a person's going to get saved, you know when they have to do it? When they're alive. When they're alive. And if we're going to reach people, we're going to have to reach them with the gospel while they're living. And I believe God's going to hold this generation accountable for the generation that we live in. What are we doing with the gospel? What have we done with the gospel? What are we going to do with the gospel? Are we aware of the need? Are we aware of the 1,359,000,000 people that live in China? Are we aware of the 1,241,000,000 people that live in India? Are we aware of the 211 million people that live in Brazil? What about the 119 million people that live in Mexico? Or the 87 million that live in Egypt? The 22 million plus people in Australia? The 6.5 million in Papua New Guinea? The 63 million in the United Kingdom? And the list goes on and on and on. I believe that we have 196 countries in the world today. It just goes on and on and on. In the continent of Africa, they have over 1 billion people. 15% of the world's population. They tell us that 2/3 of the world's population today have never heard a clear representation or a presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never heard. How much is 2/3 of 7.1 billion? I'm talking about 4.73 billion people that have never heard. What a responsibility we have. God help us. God help us to lift up our eyes and look on the fields and realize they're white and they're all ready to harvest. They're all ready to harvest. Jeremiah said in Lamentation 3 in verse number 51, he said, Mine eye affecteth my heart because of the daughters of my city. My eye, you know how his heart got affected? He looked. He was aware of the need. He was beholding. He was looking. He said, my eye affecteth my heart. God help us to get under a burden, to get under a vision by keeping our head up and looking at the needs of others. A lot of times, this is all people do. Am I the only one that sees that? I should come to church tonight, Pastor. There's a woman that had a phone here driving next to us in the car. She's doing this with it, you know, texting, driving, had her other arm here, no seatbelt on, and driving with her knee. Scared me to death. I had a car just drive plumb across the median in front of me, run off the road texting 2 weeks ago. Hey, I'm telling you, we got our eyes upon the temporal things instead of eternal things. We need to be aware of the need. Jude said in Jude 22, and as some have compassion, making a difference. We need it to be, if we're going to be aware, we need to observe. We need to be looking. We need to see the people that we come in contact with. We need to see them, but we need to realize, hey, there's a great big field out there that Jesus called the world. If we're going to be aware of the need, we need observation. But secondly, tonight, if we're going to be aware of the need, we need information. Back to our verse in verse number 35. Jesus said, in verse number 35, He said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Again, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter number 8 and verse number 20, he said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not yet saved. He said, the harvest is past. You know what he's saying? He said, we're down to the wire and we're about to lose the harvest. I wonder if we really realize how close the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ could be. I believe the rapture is at our doorstep. Hey, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming and we better get busy. People are dying every day without God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Oh, I tell you what, every one of us are going to meet God one day. Whether we're saved or lost, we're going to stand before Him. People are dying without God every single day. Every single day. And I believe that statistics tell us that 1.8 people die per second in the world. 1.8 people. That's almost 2 people per second that goes out into eternity. Almost 2 people per second. I believe that we can safely say that most of those go to hell. Why? How can you say that, Brother Ellis? How can you say that most people go to hell? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7, verses number 13 and verse number 14, He's talking about the broad way and the narrow way. You remember? And He said, there's few there be that find that narrow way. Few. So I believe we can safely say that most people that go out into eternity are not saved. Not that they can't be saved, they can be saved. Yes, for God so loved the world, and He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. 1.8 people per second. You ever start thinking about that? How many people go out into eternity? Listen to these few numbers here. I'm talking about if we're going to be aware of the need, we need some observation. If we're going to be aware of the need, we need some information. I'm trying to give you some information here tonight. I'm talking about 1.8 people per second going out into eternity. That comes to 108 people per minute. 6,480 people per hour. 155,520 people in 24 hours. In 1 week, it equals 1,088,640 people. In 1 year, it comes to 56,764,800 people going out into eternity. And we don't know when our number is going to come up. Hey, I'm telling you, people are dying without Christ every day, and we have a great responsibility. We get our eyes so many times, like the disciples, we've gone to Sychar to buy meat. We're doing our duty for the Savior. We come to church. We come to church this week, and we forget about all the people that we were supposed to deal with in Sychar, so to say. Hey, God gave us a great commission. God gave us a... Hold your place here and turn your Bibles, if you will, in the second... 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. You see, so many of God's people have the idea that preachers and missionaries and evangelists are the ones to do the witnessing. Yes, we are supposed to be doing that, but hey, God wants us all to be a witness, and He gave the church the great commission. He didn't just give it to missionaries, He gave it to the church. And missionaries should be members of a local church. And we find here that Paul told us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9, he said, "For we," he included himself to the people he was writing to, the church at Corinth, he said, "For we are laborers together with God." You see, you realize we're not in this by ourselves. God's provided the way for people to be saved. He sends us forth to tell that message, to send missionaries to the fields where we can't go as well. And hey, I'm telling you, we're not in it by ourselves. It says we're laborers together with God. Aren't you glad that we're not out there trying to make it on our own to tell somebody how to get... Hey, we don't have the resources. We can't save somebody. But I'm telling you, He can. As they were singing tonight, "It is well with my soul." I'm glad it's well with my soul, but it wouldn't have been if it hadn't have been for the blood. We have a great commission that He gave us to take into all the world. He said, "Go into all the world to preach the gospel." And one day we're going to stand before Him and say, I wonder if He's going to ask me, "What did you do with it? What did you do with my message?" We're going to give account to God. The Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 3, in verses number 18 and verse number 19, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, yet that same man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Hey, I promise you, we don't want to stand before God one day with the blood of men and women, boys and girls, dripping from our fingertips. But I wonder if that's not going to be the case. You say, how can I wash the blood of this generation off of my hands? There's only one way. Warn them. Warn them. Tell them there's a way to be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he said. God, help us to be faithful, to be a witness to our family, to our friends, to our surrounding community, to the people that live on our street, to the people that live next door to us, across the street from us, to the people on the other side of the world. You say, "I can't go to the other side of the world," but I'm glad we can support missionaries that can. Amen. We can have a vested interest in what they're doing. Amen. Oh, if we're going to be aware of the need, we need observation. Secondly, if we're going to be aware of the need, we need information. But lastly tonight, I want to point your attention back to John chapter number 4 and verse number 35. If we're going to be aware of the need, We need comprehension. We need comprehension. Look what Jesus said here. He said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest." Not only did Jesus say that they were already to harvest, but Jesus described them as being white and already to harvest. Jesus wasn't talking about the color of a man's skin. He wasn't, it doesn't matter what color a person is, they can be saved, amen? You know, I think that's why Jesus told them, or in the book of Acts, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. You remember this woman I was telling you about here in Samaria? That's where they didn't want to go. That's where they were prejudiced against. Hey, I'm telling you, that those people that we might have a little bit of prejudice against, they need the gospel too. They need the gospel too. And here we find Jesus saying, He said, they're white, all ready to harvest. And it's not talking about the color of a man's skin. It's talking about the condition of the grain. I believe it's referring to the ripening color of grain. You see, when grain is ripe, it's time to get it out of the field. He said, it's still standing, the wheat's still standing, the cotton's still standing, and the corn's still standing. Yeah, but you wait. You let a storm blow in. You let the hail come, and it'll be on the ground. And it'll be too late. It'll be too late. People are dying and going to hell every day. Every day. And what are we doing? What am I doing? God help me to be a better witness. Time is running out. Many times I would sit in my office when I was there in Australia, and I would just sit there and I would just look at the clock and watch it tick. And I'd think about the coming of the Lord. One day, He's going to come. He's going to come. I wonder if we really understand about the urgency of the hour we live in. I wonder if we really understand of all the turmoil that's going on in the world. I wonder if we really understand how close it is. God help us to keep our eyes upon Jesus. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. God help us to look to Him. Hey, He didn't lay down. He didn't quit. He kept pressing on all the way to the end. And God help us to do that faithfully unto the end. You know, Jesus said, He said, "Occupy till I come." Oh, we get tired and we'd rather just sit down and relax and let somebody else do it. But I'm telling you, hey, somebody else is not going to give an account for me. I'm going to give an account for me. And you're going to stand before God as well. I trust you're here tonight and you're saved. But if you're not, we're not just here to try to encourage the church to reach the others in the world that need them. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, hey, you need to get saved. One day it'll be too late. One day the Holy Spirit will quit knocking on your heart's door. Hey, you need to be saved if you're not saved. What about you here tonight, Christian? Are you doing anything with the gospel? Are we being a witness? Are we taking the gospel to anyone? I remember the first person, Pastor Sexton, I remember the first person that got saved when we started a church in November of 2004. And it was June of 2005 when we had the first convert. We'd labored there in that town for 6 months where we were at that time. And it fired me up. See somebody get saved. And I was trying to be an encouragement to the church, and I printed off some little bookmark things and I titled it "Lost People to Pray For." And I put 1 through 10 down there and handed them out, and I said, We're gonna put lost people's names down here that we know. And here was a man that was probably in his early 70s sitting on the front row, and he said it, and I don't know if he wanted me to hear it or not, but I heard it. He said, he was talking to somebody else. He said, "I don't think I know 10 lost people." Now I'm talking about a man that's supposed to have been saved for nearly 50 years. Do you know 10 lost people? Could you write down 25 lost people that you know? Are you praying? I mean, I believe with all my heart, before we talk to the lost about God, we better talk to God about that man, about that woman. God help us to have a burden and a vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. God help me. God help us all in this day in which we live to have a real vision. A real vision for the lost. Pastor, I'm through. Father, we thank you for the day and the opportunity to try to preach your word. And Lord, I'm sure it could have been better said here tonight. And Lord, I just tried to say what you put on my heart. And I pray, God, that you'd use these simple words. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they'd be saved. God, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that are cold and calloused and complacent, Lord, to get off of our seat of do nothing and get busy with doing your work. Lord, we'll thank you for it and praise you for it. God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.